This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Let's take a look at where we are in prophecy again. This is an update. Let's come first of all to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And here Paul explains about the days in which we are living, some of the things we are facing. Now these are general overall things. But as Jesus said, we'll see a little later, we are to watch. And that gives us understanding as we watch. And as I explained in my last letter, that in the last days, God has promised to give us understanding. And I'm sure that that is step by step by step as we go. Let's read it here, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money. It's exactly what we have today. It's what is called self-esteem. And it's destroying everybody that practices self-esteem. Because you see, it has everything backwards. First, you are to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Then you're to love your neighbor as yourself. See? So if you have love to God and love to neighbor, and we could add in there what Christ also added, love of the brethren, then we can love ourselves. But you see, this is where all selfishness comes from. If you love yourself, everything revolves around you. Lovers of money, and you can sure see that today, especially with the gambling that's going on. Gambling, gambling, gambling everywhere. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Not only does that refer to things like homosexuality, but it refers to hardness of heart, mothers throwing babies into garbage bins. Implacable. You can't reach them. It's like trying to take a water hose to a flintstone. Nothing's going to happen. Slanderers. Without self-control. Savage. Despisers of those who are good. So if you try and love God and try and be decent, and try and be nice, you're going to be pushed over in a corner. Betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasures, of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But here's the kicker. Having an outward form of godliness. They still profess God, but most of the godliness is all pagan and satanic anyway, but denying the power of true godliness. See, they have their religions, and they pick scriptures out of the Bible, but they are not willing to live by it. But as for you, turn away from all of these. For from men such as these come those who are worming their way into houses and are gaining control over empty-headed women, given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lusts. They are always learning, but are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that true? What's the most touted thing that people want today? Education. The more they study, the more they learn, the more they can't solve the problems of the things that they find out. They think they solve one problem, which creates another problem. Now, just as Jannes and Jambres, verse 8, stood against Moses in the same manner, also these are brazenly standing against the truth. They are men of depraved minds, reprobate in respect to faith. But they will proceed no further because their folly will become evidently clear to everyone, just as theirs also was. Then it shows what we need to do. But you've closely followed my doctrine, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. And so that's what we need to look to today. Now also, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that's why the true churches of God are small, because there are very, very few people willing to live by every word of God, as Jesus said. Oh, they want some of the words. And just think of it this way. Let's go to Luke 17. Think of it this way. I'm going to have to give a special sermon on gambling, because that's really a problem. And it's rooted in lust and covetousness, trying to get something for nothing. And it is really appealing to Satan, the devil, directly. I remember one time, way back years ago, this is when we were in Salt Lake City, we had one of our minister friends come over from Kansas, and we were all going to the feast in Tahoe. So we left and we're driving. There's a straight highway going straight out. It's almost straight as a stick going out of Salt Lake City over to the Nevada border. And, man, he was barreling along. You know, of course, there's not much of a speed limit. And, of course, the Utah Salt Flats are there. That's where they have all these high-speed, vehicles and motorcycles race. So we got over to Elko, he pulled over to the first place, we got out of the car, and he went in there and started working the one-arm badinet just as fast as he could. And I know Dolores and I were standing just shocked, you know.
I remember the first feast that I...
Now here in Luke 17, let's pick it up here in verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And I was thinking of that the other day as I was driving. Why is there so much crime? Why is there so much, they're just sin and crime everywhere. Just everywhere. And we'll take a look at it when we go back to Genesis 6 here for just a minute. Now, here on the surface, it looks normal. Verse 27. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage. We might add, in San Francisco and Massachusetts, male and female and female. Until the day that Noah went into the ark. So, if we understand what's going on today, and we say, okay, this is going on today, and Christ said it would be like it was in the days of Noah, what are we dealing with? That's what they were doing back there before the flood. Plus whatever other thing that they wanted to do. Until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same way in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. And of course, this means good economic activity, doesn't it? And we'll get to economics here a little later. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So he's going to be revealed. We've covered that, and we'll cover that a little more on trumpets. Let's go back to Genesis 6. And let's see what the Bible describes. Now, it doesn't give us all the details, but Christ gives us the information to know that if we want to know the details, then all we have to do is look at it as it is today. Genesis 6. Now let's pick it up here in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, we can magnify that a great deal, can't we? Television? Video games? Magazines? Books? Casinos? Nightclubs? Schools? Business? High corporate executives? Absconding with billions? Where did the money go? Etc. Was only evil continually. Now it was so bad that it repented the Lord, verse 6, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart to see how absolutely evil that men would go. See, God has given free moral agency, and he's told us to choose. And so look where it led. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now, how big was the church? If we can ask that question. How many people were keeping Sabbath? How many people were worshiping God? And remember, you tie that in with what Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? How many people? Eight. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. That was it. And the sons and their wives were covered by the grace that God gave to Noah. And they only escaped so that there would be a population on the other side of the flood. Now, it doesn't tell us how righteous they were. But it says, verse 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, if you're going to walk with God, it's the way of the truth. That's all the commandments of God. That's a Sabbath. That has to be holy days in whatever form there was then. Because remember, at creation, God set the sun and the moon and the stars for signs and seasons have to do with holy days, right? Yes, indeed. And notice it doesn't say his three sons and wives were righteous. It was just Noah. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Do we see that today? Yes, everywhere. You know, people get all upset at the Iraqi war. But they fail to realize that there are more murders in the United States every day than there are casualties in Iraq. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his, that is God's way, and their own personal ways upon the earth. And it says all flesh, it means all human beings, plus the animals. Now, we do not know what they were doing with animals, but just look at the experiments that they're trying to do today. Look at the genetic engineering that they have done today and how it involves animals and plants and so forth. And I can tell you that if there was a way to take a leaping, jumping gene from a kangaroo and insert that into a human gene so that the parents could have the greatest leaping basketball player there ever was, you know that they would line up and have it done. See, for example, under the guise of goodness, there's a man who had terrible cancer in his jaw. So what they did, they took his own stem cells and they grew a new jawbone right below his shoulder blade. So they have to cut off his jaw so they can replace it with this new jawbone. I imagine that they're going to have to form it and everything like that, you know, to do it. But, you know, that the every imagination of man is only evil continually. Everything that man does is sin. And the only ones who are willing to follow God are those who believe God, those who have His Spirit, those who know His Word. So God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for all the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." That's exactly what God did. And there's evidence everywhere that there was a flood. Now let's come over to Genesis 11, because that is also in the days of Noah, but it's after the flood. And here we find again. Now the reason I'm going through these things is because we need to understand the prophecies that are taking place and what we are looking at imminently in the way of our own personal lives. And we're going to have to, as Jesus said, you know, remember Noah. Now, Genesis 11. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. Well, we're almost there again, aren't we? And we are there with computers, aren't we? Yes, indeed. So what did they do? They said, verse 4, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and what the children of men builded. Now God comes down and checks up on the earth every once in a while. Did he do that with Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, indeed. And he said if there were 10 men, you remember how Abraham bargained with them, 50 down to 10? We said, if there are 10, I'll spare it. So it's very important that the few who are righteous and know God and love God and keep His commandments stay that way in spite of the world around you. But you see, the problem is, as we know, as related in the Laodicean church, lukewarmness sets in. So you need to think on that. Now God is going to come down and check up and see what's going on. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." And are we not living in that age today with all the technology, with all of the things? Yes, indeed. Verse 7. "Go to, let us go down and confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. And they're scattered abroad." It's called Babel. Verse 9. Beginning of Babylon. Well, this time, God is going to come in person, as we'll cover on the Feast of Trumpet. Now, we'll just look at one verse here in the New Testament, because what I want to show everybody, which we should already know, but for those who don't, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Because this Lord God, that's speaking here in the Old Testament, the one who created all things, the one who created the Sabbath, the one who created mankind, he was the one who became Jesus Christ. That's why Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Colossians 1. And let's pick it up here in verse 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Because by him were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by and for him. And he is before all, and by him all things subsist. He made all things. So when people say that Jesus was not God before he came to the earth, and saying that he was only born at that particular time when he was born, and that's when his existence began, then he was not before all things. You know, some people just cannot understand that. Well, we'll let that be, because we have a lot to cover today. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now, I'm going, for the feast, I'm going to cover about the kingdom of Satan or the beast kingdom. But I want us to understand what's going on here. We'll come back and focus in on the last half of Revelation 13 here in a minute. Let's begin here in verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, which is types of multitudes of people, and sea has to do with nations, languages, and tongues, and so forth. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. This is Satan's last system. And this system looks like it is a grassroots, or how should we say, a sand of the sea movement by people. And I thought it was interesting. One of the recent advertisements in the latest presidential election was this. I think it went back to the beginning of the modern era of Olympic Games, and it was saying that, I forget, it was 1890-something, that there were 2 democracies on Earth. And now, there are 120 democracies. And the 2 latest are Afghanistan and Iraq. So you see, this tells us when we look at these prophecies, things may have begun long before we ever suspected that they have begun. So it's going to develop in this system which will eventually worship the beast and Satan the devil, who will be the false Messiah. Now then, there are a lot of people out there thinking that, well, if we all repent, we're going to stop it. We don't have to give in to the beast. Okay, well, if you're a true Christian, you're waiting for the kingdom of God, right? Now, as I mentioned on the tape that I did for the, let's go to Jeremiah 25 here for just a minute, please. Now, this becomes very important. As I mentioned on the tape for trumpets, A lot of people know about the conspiracy theories, in other words, the conspiracies that Satan is using to seduce men and women and set up his great and grand kingdom. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter one bit if you know about it, but you don't believe and obey God, because you're not going to stop it. The die has already been cast. Everything has been set in motion, and God is only going to reach down and save individuals. But he has promised that he will save us. Now, some may have to give their lives in martyrdom because that's the cost that it will take. And as we will see, some may be spared. And as we've also seen, many will grow old and die and be put in the grave. So this is not to put fear in you, but to help you understand that you must have faith in God in order to live in these days. Otherwise, you will not be able to keep from getting involved in this world, because it is coming. Now, let's take it here. Let's begin here in verse 13, Jeremiah 25. Now, all you need to do is this. If you don't believe that the Word of God is true, all you have to do is go back in history, and you will see that, yes, for the sins of the people of God, he destroyed the temple twice, correct? Yes. And he sent the Jews off and scattered them into the whole world, because they didn't believe God and they didn't believe Jesus Christ. And it really doesn't matter what any Jew may complain about it. That's a fact of judgment from their own lips. Now, verse 13, and I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it. And all you have to do is study all the words in prophecy in Matthew 24, Luke 13, Luke 21, and other prophecies, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the whole book of Revelation. Every word of God is going to happen and be fulfilled because God spoke it, and heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of Jesus Christ will pass away, and it's going to happen. And we are going to see. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all nations to drink, to whom I send you to drink. That's all the nations. Now then he lists all of them. And the modern ancestors of those apply today. Now let's come over here to verse 26. All the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth. Now we're going to see there will be a one world government. There will be a one world religion. And there will be the one world mark of the beast economic system. It is going to happen. It's going to take place. All the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth. Now, is that all inclusive? Do we believe the words of God? Is it going to happen as God says? Of course, if it doesn't, then God is not God. Now let's look at another aspect of it. We can say Jeremiah 25 has to do with a world government. That's why some people have said that, well, the United Nations amounts to nothing, and what I've said about Iraq and the other countries over there is not going to happen. Yes, it's going to happen because God says right here, they're all going to drink of it. No way around it. Okay, let's come to Ezekiel 27. Let's look at the economic aspect of it. And what is the central thing of the economics today? World trade, correct? Yes, indeed. That's what it's talking about. I'll let you read through the whole thing, but here it is, typified by Tyrus. And then it lists everything that they have. Verse 5, their ships, cedars from Lebanon. Verse 6, oaks of Bashan. Benches of ivory, fine linen, embroidered work from Egypt. Have you ever gone to, I tell you what, you go to Target and you're going to find fine cotton towels made of Egyptian cotton. Yes, you will. There you go. Then it lists all of them, all the nations that are involved. Many of the same nations that you read of back there in Jeremiah 25. So along with this world trading organization is going to come world government. Now verse 13. Javan, Tubal, Meshach, they were your merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in your market. Do we have a slave trade today? Yes, it's called illegal immigration. And they even found hundreds in shipping containers sent from China and other places in the Far East, full of illegal immigrants. And they get here and they work as slaves. Are they buying and selling children? Yes, indeed. What happens to all the children that are missing around the world? You figure it out. Verse 14. And they of the house of Togarmah traded in your fares with horses, horsemen and mules. Well, we have today cars, trucks, motorcycles, vans, four-wheelers. To say nothing of airplanes and everything like that. The men of Dedan, your merchants, many isles, the merchandise of your hands, they brought for you a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was your merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of your making. They occupied in your fairs with emeralds and pearls, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and agate. I mean, you can even become a dealer in pearls today. I saw a little brochure about it. What it was doing, it was showing black pearls. And I hadn't seen black pearls before, so I was looking at it. And they had black pearls, and they had brass-colored pearls, yellow pearls, pink pearls, white pearls. Amazing. And I was reading this morning, and I said, hello? Verse 17, Judah and the land of Israel, they were your merchants. They traded in your markets, wheat and everything, so you can read the rest of it, all right? Now, let's pick it up here because we'll see how this ties in with Revelation 18 here in just a minute. Verse 32, come over here to verse 32. And in their wailing shall they take up a lamentation for you. Now remember that when we get to Revelation 18. and lament over you, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When their wares were sent forth out of the sea, you filled many people. You did enrich the kings of the earth. Keep that in mind, because we'll see the prophecy in Revelation 18. With a multitude of your riches and your merchandise. Now, what I want you to do is think economically of the great corporations in the world. They control world trade. They buy and they sell, and they're in it for making money. Whatever it may be, cars, clothes, goods, food. Most of it comes from corporations. Oh, once in a little while out in areas like this, where we live in Hollister, you might have a farmer's market. But it's all for exploit. It's all for gain. It's all for greed. And God is going to destroy it. Verse 33, and when your wares went forth out of the seas, you filled many people. That's what we have, don't we? Trade from overseas. You go look in your house and find what's made in the USA. Virtually nada. In spite of the propaganda, everything is made overseas. You didn't enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of your riches and your merchandise. In the time when you shall be broken by the seas and the depths of the water, your merchandise and all your company in the midst of you shall fall. And all the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at you, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among you shall hiss at you, and you shall be a terror, and never shall be anymore. So what follows on the heels of that? The chapter showing about how Satan fell. So Satan is behind all of this merchandising. Satan is behind all of these major corporations of the world. You need to understand that. Or they will say, oh, we're not. We're good, honest people. Are you? Whom do you serve? Do you worship God? Do you tithe to Him of your profits? I've never seen a penny of it. I doubt if any other Church of God has ever seen a penny of it. Warren Buffett, who does he tithe to? I mean, think about it. Now, if you don't believe that is true, hold your place here, because we'll come back to Ezekiel 28. Let's come over here to Matthew 4 for just a minute. And this is why God is called the poor of the earth. Matthew 4. Verse 8. Temptation of Satan. Notice what he says. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And the meaning there in the Greek is as God. Then Jesus said unto him, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only shall you serve. Now, Satan won't worship God. That's talking about the duty of man. Let's look over here in Matthew 4 for just a minute, because this tells us just a little bit more about the situation there and where all this comes from. Okay. Verse 5, Luke 4, and the devil takes him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now that means clear down to our day. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them. And the glory means all the wealth, all the riches, all the lands, all of that sort of thing. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I give it. If you will therefore worship me, all shall be yours. So the wealthy of the world are not serving God. And look how they're corrupting minds and bodies and lives, children. And you can just go on with the whole thing about it, you see. Now let's come over here to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, talking about Satan and his sin. Verse 16. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Now, whatever Satan did in the counterpart, that's what he did. Now, let's come down here to verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. So Satan is behind this buying and selling as it is. And we're going to see, because we're going to focus in on the mark of the beast here a little bit, and we're going to see that this is of Satan the devil. Now it's very interesting. It gets down to this. If you will not obey God and keep his commandments, then Satan is going to enforce his laws upon you. Now, that's what we see in the society. They kicked God out and they said, oh, we don't want your Bible, we don't want your word, we don't want you to teach the Ten Commandments, which would be the best way to cut down on all crime and all sin, to bring it down to a very low, low level. But no, Satan's way is, you go ahead and sin, but I'm going to have police that are going to arrest you and control you. That's Satan's way. That's what we see coming in the world today. More and more police, more and more law, more and more control. Why? Because people do not control themselves by the Word of God. And in the situation with the terrorist, what do we have? We now must be suspicious of everybody. And you wait. Terrorism is going to be used to save the economics, that is, the fight against terrorism, to save the economics, and you don't know how close that the United States came to a total financial collapse on the days following 9/11. Remember, the stock market was closed for a week. That's how close we came to a total financial disaster. Now, before we go on, let's turn this tape to the other side, please, but fast forward it first. Where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Now, verse 18. Well, let's come down here to verse 17. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will. Now, it is God's will, since people want evil, and they want Satan the devil, he's going to give it to them big time. It's not going to be some little thing done in a corner. So it is his will, just like he raised up Nebuchadnezzar to invade and carry away captive the Jews in 580, 5 BC, And God told the Jews, if you fight, you're going to die. Because Nebuchadnezzar is my servant in my hand to punish you for your sins. Now, if you go in captivity, I'll let you survive, and I'll bring some of you back. Now, here it's God's will. It is God's will to let Satan raise up this system. And remember this. Jesus said, if his kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, which means what? We are not to fight. Now continuing. To do his will, to act with one accord, to give their kingdom to the beast, and that's all the kingdoms of the world, until the words of God have been fulfilled. And what did Jesus say? What did he say? He said, I came not to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, that one jot or one tittle of the law shall not fail until all have been fulfilled. And this is part of what needs to be fulfilled, right? Yes, indeed. And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Of course, that will be Rome, but Rome will enhance its power. Rome will be very clever. Rome will enhance her power by lowering her power. Well, what do I mean by that? She will let all the other religions come back until there is a miracle-working pope. And then the noose is going to be pulled all around them, and they're all going to be sucked in under the power of the Pope with total control. That's how it will happen. Now, let's come back here to... let's come over here to chapter 18, since we're right here. Verse 1. And after these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. So it's going to go down. And has become a habitation of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Because all nations, I want you to circle that, all nations, have drunk of the wine of the fury of her wrath. See, because Babylon was responsible for all the religions of the world, all of the economics of the world, and the government basis of the world that we have today. The only variation from that is the United States of America, when some of the founders followed many of the principles in the Bible. But let me tell you something about the Constitution of the United States. Too many people accept it as a Bible. While it may read good and it may sound good and it may work better than other governments, let me tell you it has its fatal flaws, because look at what it is today. And the reason is, while they took some principles from the Bible and they used some things relating to Christianity, it was not based upon the entire Word of God. And that's the problem of picking and choosing. Now let's go on. All nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kingdoms of the earth have committed fornication with her. Okay, so what do we have? We're going to see three things here. Kings of the earth, they represent what? Government. She represents religion. So we have religion, and we have governments. and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. So what is the third thing we have? Economics. Now let's come to Revelation 13. And let's look at this a little bit more. And let's see if we can make a little more sense out of it, even though we have gone over this many, many times. Okay. Now let's pick it up here in verse 2. Just to set the stage. I explain more of this one of the days of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now what did we read back there in Matthew 4 and Luke 4? If you worship Satan, you'll get it. Right? Gave him the power. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. They see, at that point, there are going to be two classes of people, those who worship God, the true God, and have the true Jesus Christ as Savior, and those who worship Satan the devil, which is the dragon. Because just go across the page over here to chapter 12 and verse 9. And let's see it. Okay. And the great dragon, there it is, was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. That's what's happening in the end time. And he's deceiving them how? With government, with religion, and with economics. Correct? Yes. Now come back over here to verse 4, chapter 13. And they worshiped the dragon, who gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like the beast, who is able to make war against him. Now that day is going to come. There's going to be a shifting of power, and you wait and see. I've said this before, so I'll say it again. I fully expect the UN to move out of the United States back to Switzerland, in Geneva, where the League of Nations originally was. And I fully expect at that time greater and more power will be given to the United Nations. They are again talking about two major things to make the UN a powerful entity. Number one, taxes. Taxes on oil and their products, taxes on travel, land, sea, and air. And once they get at the foot in the door, what is the story? Once you start taxing, you get more. The next one that they are going to do is to have a powerful army that will come. Now, how far down the road? We don't know. But then it will be who is able to make war against him. Now, notice, out of this is going to come the false Messiah, verse 5. And a mouth speaking great blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months, that is, after his deadly wound was healed. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Tie that right back in with Genesis, the 11th chapter, correct? Yes. Now notice, here's what's going to happen. And he was given power to make war against the saints. Now I know a lot of people don't like to talk about martyrdom, but it is going to come. I saw on the History Channel the other night, they were talking about the implements of torture that were used during the Spanish Inquisition by the Catholic supposed Christians, which they are not, because Jesus said, love your enemies. If he hunger, feeds him. And they had some of the most ghastly things that you could ever imagine. And it's coming again. So the question is, do you believe God all the time unto death? You see, and that's the problem with too many people today. That's why you must prove everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Because if things are good and comfortable for you, and you come because there are a lot of people, or you come because they have a nice-looking college, or you come because it looks like the thing to do, and you're attracted to the institution rather than repenting to God, you are in trouble. You will turn your back in the day of trouble, just like it says with the parable of the sowing of the seed. So that's what we have to have, because it's going to come. How soon? We don't know. How far down the road? We don't know. But it is going to come. Make war against the saints and overcome them. And he was given authority over... Now notice the authority he's given here. Again, I want you to see the worldwide encompassing thing here. Because you see, the last kind of government that man has never had has been a one world government. And that's what they want. And that's what they're going to produce. And that's what they are working for. And it is going to happen. And God is going to let it happen to show and to prove that only God is capable of running a one-world government with the resurrected saints. What you're seeing is the duality of what happened back there in Genesis 11. Now notice, verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that's all-encompassing authority, isn't it? And we're getting to a time worldwide that that can be done, and that can be enforced. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, then he says, here's the judgment. If anyone gathers into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If anyone kills with the sword, he must be killed with the sword. Here's the endurance and faith of the saints, which is what? That they do not do those things. See? Now let's come to verse 11. Let's look at the mark of the beast. Because not only is it here, but it's coming and growing. And I saw another beast rising up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He's going to certify that this truly is the Messiah. It's going to be a human being possessed of Satan the devil. What it's going to be. Because if they worship the dragon and they worship the first beast, that means the first beast is possessed of Satan the devil, correct? And he, that is the second beast, performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. And the way people are today, they will be so convinced this is from God. They will be so convinced that this is right. After all, do we not have a whole generation that is all enamored with Harry Potter and with magic and witchcraft? Yes. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. There's going to be a worldwide deception. By means of the wonders which were given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword and yet lived. I can see it now. They're going to manufacture these by the millions. They will have t-shirts. They will have hats. You know, they will have pictures. They will have an idol, an image. It's interesting. It's an image, isn't it? Make an image. Okay. Verse 15. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast also could speak. Now, what is the old saying? Seeing is believing. Hold your place right here and let's see. Come back here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Why does God do this? Let's see. It becomes very profound when we understand it. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 9, talking about the lawless one, the man of sin, the son of perdition, even the one, verse 9, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, even the one whose coming is according to the inner workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. They reject the truth. For this cause, when you reject the truth, God intervenes in your life and does something. Number one, you believe a lie. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but who took pleasure in unrighteousness. You can start with any part of the truth of the Bible you want. But you have to have the whole Bible and all the Bible and believe all of it. Otherwise, you're going to be given over to various degrees of deception. That's just a fact, spiritual fact of life. Now let's come back to Revelation 13 again here. Now then, if you won't commit that idolatry, so here's the test to receive the mark of the beast. And he causes everyone who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all. Now this goes back to the first beast here in verse 16. Because the Pope is, he will reinforce it, but he's not going to cause it. It's going to be the government that's going to cause it. And it's going to be the merchants who will initiate it. As we'll see here in just a minute. He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. I think we will be able to distinguish the difference between it. In the right hand, I believe, will be for the ordinary citizen. In the forehead will be for the chosen government bureaucracies. All those who work for the government, they will be on the inside. Now, isn't it interesting that a lot of these things have been telegraphed through a very popular sci-fi series called Star Trek? There is a movie out right now, which I'll just telegraph ahead here a little bit, called The Manchurian Candidate. And it's a story about a president of the United States that is controlled by a chip put into his brain. I want you to understand we're entering into very dangerous times with this mark of the beast. Now, when I first said that, when I first gave the sermon almost 2 years ago, the mark of the beast is coming, the mark of the beast is coming, boy, people got all excited and they wrote me, and man, they were sure going to get their act together. Well, let me tell you, it's 2 years later and it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Now, what was a trickle when I gave the sermon 2 years ago is developing into a river, which is going to develop into a flood, which will become an ocean. Unlike anything we have ever understood. Now let's finish this, and I want to bring you up to date on what's happening here. Verse 17, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let the one who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and his number is 666. And I believe the first six stands for the false perfected religion of man under Satan. The second six stands for the false governments of this world, led by Satan the devil. And the third six stands for the economics of this world. Now, they're all going to be involved in this. It is going to be something. Now, let's talk a little bit about how it's coming about and how it's going to happen. It will happen this way. Remember I said 2 years ago that it's going to become so common and so good that those who don't take it will be thought of as nuts. And I also said that at first it's going to be voluntary, right? Yes. Human chips more than skin deep. Advocates of technology like radio frequency identification tags say their potentially life-saving benefits far outweigh any Orwellian concerns about privacy. Every sin that Satan puts forth and every method that he uses is to be a benefit. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve? Yes. You can benefit from it. RFID tag sewn into clothing, and it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be in all clothing, and when they do it, I'm going to have a hammer, they say if you put it in a microwave that you will blow it. I'm going to microwave everything I buy. I'm going to blow that chip. See? Going to be in every product you buy. This is going to be universal in all products, everywhere, in the whole world, and that's just the first step. Okay? Or even embedded under people's skin could curb, don't we need this? Curb identity theft? Help identify disaster victims? Even though they're blown apart. And improve medical care? Oh, yes, we must have the medical care. Critics, however, say such technology would make it easy for government agencies to track a person's every movement. Yes, indeed, and that's what they will do. And what did I say 2 years ago? This is not for buying and selling. This is for control. Now, let me just add right here before we go any further this. The old doctrine that the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping is a weak interpretation, if not erroneous interpretation, of Revelation 13. All you have to do is sit down and think about it. It's very simple. If the mark of the beast were Sunday keeping and the holidays of the world, okay, since you keep the Sabbath, and if they had blue laws to close everything down on Sunday, could you still buy and sell? Well, you wouldn't buy and sell on the Sabbath because you keep the Sabbath, right? You wouldn't buy and sell on Sunday because they close everything down. Okay? But you could buy on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, unless you live in a Muslim country where they keep Friday. So you can still buy and sell. But here, the Revelation 13 says you cannot. Udunatai, you have no power to buy and sell. And that's what we are at right now. So this is Satan's way of controlling everybody. That's what it's down to, you see. It's not Sunday keeping or holiday keeping. No. This is economics. It has to do with buying and selling. See. Abuse could take countless other forms, including corporations surreptitiously identifying shoppers for relentless sales pitches. You walk in the store and they know exactly who you are, what you purchased in the past, where you live, what your social security number is, what your telephone number is, how much your income is. They know everything. See, and all of this started with the convenience of credit cards. Now, I use credit cards. But credit cards do not control me. Credit cards cannot affect my mind. But a chip in your right hand or in your forehead with low frequency ELF wavelengths can send out messages and control people. And that's Satan's goal, to control people. See? You take away the free choice. You choose Satan, you give up God, and Satan takes away your choice. Now, is that total enslavement? Are you in bondage to iniquity? Without a doubt. Now, there's a whole lot more to this, but you see, they are making many, many more of these RFID chips. And they are going to, as we said before, isn't it wonderful if people who have medical problems have it? We will know who they are and what they need immediately. And if they just happen to fall down, we can find them anywhere. As mentioned, that they already have it available, and they show an advertisement. See, you watch the advertisements to promote this. A man falls down, they're able to track where he is. Helicopter comes and rescues him. They pass the scan over the chip. They're putting it in the shoulder right now for beginning. That's so they can say it's not in the right hand. But they'll soon find out that the shoulder is inconvenient. And they'll move it to the right hand. You wait and see. And as he's on his way to the hospital in the helicopter, what happens? They know who he is, what his medication is, what they need to do for him, and voila, they save his life. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go on. The problems, detractors say, is that the vast quantities of accumulated data would be vulnerable to theft and abuse. They cite historical practices of retail establishments which for years have listened in on consumer conversations and viewed consumer behavior on remote cameras to improve sales. Supermarkets routinely collect data about individual shoppers' purchases and buying habits through loyalty programs along with credit cards and electronic banking transactions. Even random individuals could spy on those with tags because today's RFID technologies do not yet have the processing power to encrypt information. So they could drive down the street, and they could tell, oh, this guy has bought all this stuff, and he has this. Well, look, he's got food stored up here for a long time. We better watch this guy. He looks dangerous. Be very simple to do. Still implanting RFID chips could vastly increase the potential for police surveillance of ordinary citizens. Conceivably, every wall socket could become an RFID reader that feeds into a government database. Critics contend that if tagging gets out of control, the day will eventually come when the cops will be able to trace junk thrown in a public trash can back to the person who tossed it. Oh, and if the Hastings girl had only had a chip in her body, we could find her body in this maze of garbage. Do you want people in power to have that much power? The infrastructure obstacle has to be overcome. It is called electricity and the internet. ID by arm, how it works. Person gets a radio tag implanted in the arm or a bracelet. Most tags are technologically passive, meaning that they cannot send signals until activated by a nearby scanner. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know they're lying to you. Antennas in the screener or on the wall will intercept signal from a tag and relay the information back to a database. Generally, this signal will identify the wearer. The database matches the signal from the tag with one on file, allows a person to pass, or triggers a warning to if it detects a discrepancy. Although some tags encrypt the signals, many don't. All right, let's look at another one here. Selling point for implanting biochips beneath your skin is that they cannot be stolen. You can cut off the hand or the arm, but you have to have a warm body for the electricity from your body to make it work. They can be used to access ATMs, pay bills, sign contracts, verify your identity, all without your wallet, and locate lost or kidnapped children. Should you yourself become lost or disabled, a global array of satellites will locate you and any person who has been implanted with the SIB, which is subdermally implanted biochip. They will be able to track you anywhere on the planet. A SIB can contain complete valuable medical data about its wearer, saving lives and trauma. It can also index the wearer's criminal record, voting record, party affiliation, the level of access to government facilities and benefits, all without the wearer knowing exactly what's in there. You watch how all the commercials will be pushing this as a good thing, a benefit. We'll find your child. We'll find your car. They can connect us with the cell phone relays anywhere in the world besides the satellites. I mean, this thing is all set up. You see, the thing that we need to understand, and most people have accepted it, that if you have a cell phone, they know who you are, where you are, and who you're calling at all times. And if you try and erase messages, it's still embedded in another chip in there, and it's not erased, which means you have no choice. You have no privacy. They are taking away a God-given choice that God has given to you. Eventually, governments will insist all citizens have SIBs. You will not be able to use your bank, open home utility accounts, or sign contracts unless fitted with an ISB for security purposes. And citizens will have to take the government's word that everything is kosher. One day your car won't start, you won't be able to get a tow truck, nor money to repair it because your ISB chip is not working. The bank's ATM won't accept your ISB SIB code, yet you see it accepting SIB codes of other customers. Your spouse will call from the grocery store saying her chip isn't working and you can't buy food for the kids. Once stores accepted both cash and SIBs, but by edict of the Federal Reserve, no one may use cash or credit cards anymore, all for reasons of national security, of course. After hours of begging a government agency for an answer, it will turn out that a 20-year-old clerk in Scum Pond, Massachusetts, or you might say offshore calling in India or Pakistan, put a hold on your whole family chips, because of an unpaid parking ticket attributed to your vehicle's license plate number. You shout that you've never been in Scum Pond, Massachusetts, but it falls on deaf ears. You are told that you have to take up the matter with Miss Dumb Clerk in person. You telephone the Scum Pond City Department of Revenue from your neighbor's phone, as your own phone was just shut off because of your criminal status. They tell you that Mrs. Dumb Clerk is on a leave of absence, so you'll have to be patient until she returns. No one else can help you because Mrs. Dumb Clerk encrypted access to all her files with her SIB code, which is against procedure, but they never had time to train her properly because she was underfunded and overworked. So you were told to call back in 4 weeks when Mrs. Dumb Clerk might be back from the rainforest. Sorry. Unable to buy and sell, you turn to family, friends, and neighbors for aid. You need a car to go to work, food, diapers, milk, kerosene heater for your house, and candles since your electricity is shut off. Your parents try to help you, but they are immediately warned at the cashless register in the store that they are not allowed to exceed their fair share in purchasing food and hardware for an elderly couple, which has already been calculated by the U.S. Department of Earth First. Sadly, they give you what little excess they had in their pantry, but it will only help your family for a few days. Ditto for your friends and neighbors. After surrendering their small hoards, most give excuses because they know what it means to fall under the scrutiny of the government for exceeding their fair share of the planet's resources as scientifically defined by UC Berkeley. Now, this is written in a satire and very cynical, but it certainly is true. After 2 weeks, the baby is whining for milk, the children are begging for food, and your wife can't stop crying. You can no longer use the phone, your neighbor's phone, to call Scumbag. Your neighbor just told you that his phone is off limits since you caused it to exceed the time allotted authorized by the U.S. Department of Communications Conservation. He is now himself under resource scrutiny. Desperate and without options, you remember the old unregistered pistol buried beneath your bedroom floors. Never in your life did you think you would stoop this low, but now the baby is screaming nonstop. Now, if you don't think this is for real, I'll just read you the headline. You can go online and get this at Yahoo News. Mexico Attorney General has microchip fitted in his arm, as did Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico. Chip implanted in Mexico judicial workers. Tiny chip takes on big job in Mexico. Now, let me read another one. This ought to make us sit up and think. Few people realize how technology could be used in law enforcement. It shows here a picture of a gun, one of the new weapons that they have. It is used to implant GPS microchip in the body of a human being. Using a high-powered sniper rifle as a long-distance injector, the chip will enter the body and stay there, causing no internal damage and only a very small amount of physical pain to the target, that is, the one who's hit by it. It will feel like a mosquito bite lasting a fraction of a second. At the same time, a digital camcorder with a zoom lens fitted in the scope of this rifle will take a high-resolution picture of the target. This picture will be stored on a memory card for later image analysis. As the urban battlefield grows more complex and intense, new ways of managing and controlling crowds are needed. And, of course, after what's going to happen at the Republican convention, they're going to start screaming for this, right? Yes, indeed. The attention of the media changes the rules of the game. Sometimes it's difficult to engage the enemy in the streets without causing damage to the all-important image of the state. Instead, Empire North suggests to mark and identify a suspicious subject at a safe distance by using this to inject them with one of the chips, enabling the National Law Enforcement Agent to keep track of the target through a satellite in the weeks to come. Then it shows a picture of it. Now, it is here. It is working. It is going to become a flood. And that's why it's very important that we stay close to God. We believe God. We believe His Word. We live by it. And we learn to love each other and get rid of our problems and difficulties between each other. Because between Jesus Christ and God the Father and the brethren, that's all you have. And that's just the way it is. We live in these times. We pray, oh, your kingdom come. Yes, indeed. But you need to understand what's going to happen between the time you're praying that and the actual coming of the kingdom by Jesus Christ. So the mark of the beast is here and growing, and it is going to be something. How long it will take, we don't know. But it will continue. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.